Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's a good one today, isn't it? That's a good one. Don't ever, 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 ever underestimate the power of God. Don't ever underestimate His willingness to respond to His people. He's our hope. He is our hope. And I'm going to be very frank tonight. I've looked this up. 75 to 80% of the people in Stone, Lawrence, Barry, Christian, and Taney counties, 75 to 80% of the people in those counties voted for Donald Trump. So I'm going to assume that at least 75 to 80% of you all did. And because I know you all, I would even bump that number up. I don't know, 20 to 25%. 60% of people in Greene County voted for Donald Trump. But you can look at the map, and basically urban areas voted for Hillary, and more rural suburban areas voted for Donald Trump. But if you did as I did today, you woke up pretty happy. Rick was out of town overnight, and so the kids and I just kind of had our own little overnight slumber party in my room, and we just left the TV on. We couldn't really stay awake, but we would wake up and kind of see where it was at, and then we'd go back to sleep. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, Shelby woke me up, and she goes, "Mom, Donald Trump won." And I was like, "Ha! Ah! Woo!" And here's the thing. Here's why I did that. Because my prayers were answered. My prayers were answered, and a lot of your prayers were answered. And across this country, prayers were answered. We had several people in this church, and I can say this because I know that most of you know this, but you know, Pastor mentioned that a national fast was called, and we had several people, including several in our youth, who fasted for 3 days and prayed for this election, for our country, and they prayed believing God for Christians to walk into the voting booth and vote not with this idea of what's in it for me, but what would God have me to do? What would God have me to do? And it's amazing to me to think that we had to get to this place where our country has been for a number of years. It's amazing to me that we had to get to the point where we could literally kind of see the country that we had known growing up fading into the background before we did anything. That kind of blows my mind. But it's also amazing to be a part of something so much greater than yourself. Angela and I both said something to our youth at school today who had fasted, because we said, "You're a part of this. He's where he is. The vote is what it is because you're a part of that. You played a pivotal role in that. And if you prayed at all for him, then you played a pivotal role in his victory and in ultimately in our victory. But in our culture, we are so moved by our personal interest. Whatever works for us, that's what we vote for typically. And it's completely changed the fabric of the election process. We've spent several years where we completely quit voting on principle at all, but rather on personalities and personal interest. And let's be honest, I mean, Can I just tell you, when Barack Obama was elected, he's fun to listen to. I mean, he's a great speaker. He is a talented man. He can capture your attention. It's too bad he wouldn't use that, his power, for good. You know what I mean? But he's a talented man. He is a captivating speaker. And I kind of liked watching him because he got you revved up. Didn't he? So a lot of people voted for him because he got them revved up. He got them excited about something, change you can believe in. Didn't? But we were voting on his personality because he had no experience whatsoever running anything. But his personality was so captivating that we bought it. There was I didn't buy it, but a lot of people did, obviously. I said I kind of liked listening to him, but that doesn't mean I marked his name in the booth. But there was one candidate this time, and I want to just talk about this for a minute, and you'll know who I'm talking about. Not that it matters at this point, because he lost. Yes. But there was one candidate in the Missouri governor's race that I thought this was interesting. Because it really touched to me on where we're at as a country. Now, I'm going to keep in mind, I know the vote is over and that I know we've already won. But I want to lay a foundation for what I'm going to talk about in a little bit. There was one candidate, and he was a Democrat endorsed by the NRA, the Missouri Farm Bureau, and the Cattlemen's Association. And that concerned me. You know why? Because we got a lot of farmers around here. And we got a lot of cattlemen. And we've got a lot of members of the NRA, my husband being one of them. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that will be the thing that causes them to go, well, he's all about our gun rights, so I'm going to vote for him. Well, can I just tell you, Rick and I, we're all about gun rights. Rick belongs to the NRA, and we're all about gun rights. But I can't vote for him because he's for something that I'm for. He's endorsed by the Farm Bureau. They were saying the first one in 100 years, the first Democrat to be endorsed by the Farm Bureau in 100 years. And there's a lot of farmers out there that could be looking to promote themselves and go, you know what, the Farm Bureau endorses that guy. I might need to get on board with that. Because the Farm Bureau is all about improving the quality of life for farmers in the state of Missouri and promoting what they do. And so you could say, I'm concerned about farmers. I'm deeply concerned about farmers. But I can't vote for somebody because they are for something I'm for. The Cattlemen's Association. They want to support the cattlemen of our state. They want the beef industry to prosper in our state. And so do I. And so do you. But we can't vote on people that way. All those things are important, but we've got to vote. And we did on the things that really, really mattered. We voted on biblical principles rather than what was going to maybe help us out, maybe going to help our pocketbook a little bit. And that particular candidate, that race gave me a little bit of hope because I saw people who didn't do what was best for them personally, but they did what was best and most closely lined up with biblical principles. Yesterday, the Christians finally got it. And I believe wholeheartedly that it was because people were praying and fasting and listening to the Spirit of God as they voted that they got it. That's the reason. And I was reading this passage in Deuteronomy 30, and it made me think, I can hear God saying this to us right now. It says, "The Lord." This is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5. It says, "The Lord your God will return you to the land that belongs to your ancestors, and you will possess that land again. Then he will make you even more prosperous, and I like this part, and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul, and so you may live. And then it goes on in verse 9 to say, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing, and now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, by obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God, on Tuesday, November the 8th, 2016, we chose life. Literally, we chose life. Literally, we chose life. But I've been thinking about this. I was thinking about this morning. Actually, I was thinking about it a little bit last night as I was watching the different news people, and I was finding myself getting so angry at some of the things that were being said. Did anybody else go there? Oh, y'all aren't even being truthful in church. Come on. I was telling someone today, I was watching, I'll just say it was ABC, whatever George Stephanopoulos is on. I was watching that one, and there were a couple of the women who were Cokie Roberts and the one who, Martha Raddatz, that did one of the debates. I was watching, and they took the opportunity three or four different times to point out that, yes, there were a lot more people showing up. They were saying that basically it was the college-educated people that voted for Hillary and the non-college-educated people that voted for Trump. And really, I mean, honestly, it was, you could just see it all over their face. They wanted so bad to say the smart people voted for Hillary and the really stupid people voted for Trump. That's really where they were trying to go with that. And I was just sitting there finding myself just boiling inside. For one thing, not that I'm bragging, but I have a college education. So I don't think that was as accurate as they thought it was, because they had nothing to back it up, but they were just speculating. But I found myself getting really angry at a lot of the stupid things they were saying. And I thought, you know, this is not where I need to be going with this. I think what they're saying is stupid, but they are children of God. Sitting right there, spewing stupid things, yes, but they are my neighbor. And I'm instructed to love my neighbor. And so I found myself getting really, really upset. And then this morning I woke up and I just was thinking about this a lot. You know, Americans, we have a pretty short memory. We have a pretty short memory. We had a pretty short memory after 9/11. When George Bush, we thought he was the greatest thing ever for about a year, year and a half. And then we went complete, not we, but the country as a whole really went the other direction. And I'm not saying he did everything right. I wouldn't even dare to say that. But what I'm saying is we believed wholeheartedly that he was right, and we backed him up completely. And man, whatever you decide, dude, let's do it. And then when things started going not exactly the way we had hoped, we turned tail and run, and we're trying to do everything we can to get him out of there. And so we have a very short memory, kind of like the Israelites. Yeah. they had very short memories. You know, God could miraculously rain down birds from the sky one day, and the next day they're going, just take us back to Egypt. We'd just rather be in slavery. But we do that. We do that same thing. And so I was thinking about that. It actually crossed my mind. How long will it be before we start saying, oh my gosh, what have we done? Because here's what we got to know. God gave us what we asked for. And so we've got to be thinking about this. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? God moved on the hearts of American people yesterday. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think people went into the voting stations planning to vote one way and ended up voting another because something in them wouldn't let them vote the way they planned in the first place. But we've got to know this. We cannot mistake Donald Trump for Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, I know that sounds silly, but I'm telling you what, people were raving. Oh, can I just tell you this? I still had to kind of hold my nose when I colored it his little circle on the ballot because the fact of the matter is he is not a perfect man and has proven that to us over and over and over again every time he got a microphone in his hand. But does he line up more so than our other option? Absolutely. He lines up more with what the Word says. But he is not going to save us. Amen. He is not going to save us. But here's the deal. He chooses life. And I'm going to line up with the one that chooses life. And we can say, well, he chooses life in that he is pro-life, but he also just chooses life. He chooses to empower people to be independent and not rely on the government. He that's choosing life. To put them in a situation that puts them in bondage to the government. Which really is what you are if you're depending on the government to meet every need you have. That's death. But he chooses life, and he says we gotta help people, but we've got to do it in a way that they get out of the situation that they're in, not that we keep them in it. And so I chose him for that reason. He was the best option. He was not my first choice. I didn't vote for him in the primary. He wasn't my choice. But he was the best choice I had on November 8th. So I'm not putting my faith in Donald Trump. My faith is in the Lord. Donald Trump is not my Savior. Jesus is. So where do we go from here? We won? Do we do a victory lap? I mean, some of us did today on Facebook. I saw some of them. It's good. It's all good. Do we wait for Obamacare to be repealed? Do we wait for Hillary to be indicted? For the wall to be built? For gun-free zones to be eliminated? Do we wait for an end to the Syrian refugee crisis and bringing them into the country without vetting them at all? Do we wait for the defeat of ISIS? Do we just sit back and wait for America to be great again? What do we do? Yesterday was awesome. We needed to have our hope restored in this country. And that happened for a lot of folks yesterday, and I praise God for it. But what now? I can tell you this, when Shelby woke me up at 3:00 in the morning to tell me that he had won, I didn't go, oh, thank Donald Trump. I said, oh, thank God. Thank God. I wasn't impressed by Donald Trump yesterday. I was impressed by a mighty God who still shows up when his people cry out to him. And I'm grateful for the role that Donald Trump has played. I'm grateful for his willingness to endure that just debacle of a election season. I'm grateful for his willingness to endure assassination attempts. I'm grateful for his family's willingness to go through that. I'm grateful for all of that. But at the end, my hope is not in Donald Trump. My hope is in the Lord. Psalm 62:5 says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." So I'm grateful. It's awesome. I was jubilant this morning. I was so excited. But here's the thing. Our part's not over. It is not, or it's not like we did our part yesterday and now it's time for him to do his part. Our part just started just like his part just really started. I don't know before this year that I had spent much time praying for my country, for an election. It just wasn't even a priority for me, to be honest with you. I would pray before I would go into the voting booth that God would give me wisdom about who to vote for. But I spent a lot of time this year praying for my country. I spent a lot of time praying for the candidates and praying for the people to just be led by the Spirit of God as they went into that voting booth. I spent a lot of time doing that, and I'm instructed to do that. And Trump is right. This is a movement. But I don't think even he understands that movement. Let's think about that. He doesn't get it. I'm glad he recognizes it's a movement, but I don't think he understands who's beneath him, bolstering him, and empowering him. He is in the middle of something so much bigger than himself. We sang a song, a new song tonight. The girls and fellas did a new song. I want to read the words. Josh, when Josh was doing announcements, I've never wanted so bad to sit there and go, because everything he was saying, I'm like, you know I'm talking about all this, and you just keep talking. But anyway. I know how Ashley feels now. Oftentimes I've seen him down there going, no, he doesn't really. But once in a while he does, actually. No, but the song we just sang, I'm going to read the words to you. It says, "Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire." That's what happened yesterday. That's what happened yesterday. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray. One of the verses says this. It says, "Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Come, or Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church and we need your power in us." I agree with what you said. I think that's a prophetic song and we ought to be singing that every single day. I am praying and believing that the heart of the church has been set on fire, that we recognize what we haven't done for 50, 60, 70 years, and we say, never again will we do that. Never again will we sit back and do nothing. We have a part to play. The scripture, 2 Corinthians 7:14, the one I said at the very beginning, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Let me tell you what it does not say. It does not say, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves before the election and pray before the election and seek my face before the election and turn from their wicked ways before the election. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin before the election. And I will heal their land. It doesn't say that. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And that is not a scripture to be applied as needed. That is a scripture to be applied every single day of our lives. Every single day. And the fact of the matter is, what Josh was saying about prayer meeting on Sunday is exactly right. Now is the time to get in there. Now is the time that we really start going to battle. We're not fighting those people on the screen in front of us saying that smart people vote for Hillary and dumb people vote for Trump. They are not our enemy. Our enemy is the power of darkness, that evil, nasty guy. He's our enemy. And it is important that we take every opportunity in the spirit realm to stop him in his tracks. And we can't do that if we go, woo! Our job is just getting started. And you know what? If you've not been a person to pray a lot, I understand that to say, oh, to go to a prayer. Let me tell you something. We can't afford for you not to be there. We can't afford for you not to be there. We have to come to, the Bible says that the Christian people belong to each other. The Bible says that we're like a body with many parts. And it likens you to a part on the body. Now, I don't know what part you are. Some of us are obvious. Some of us not so much. Some of you are like a third toe. I don't know. That's what some of us are. But it still means the body's not complete if you're not there. And we can't accomplish everything that we need to and that we should if the entire body of Christ doesn't show up. But let me ask you something. What are we going to pray? Well, like Josh said, we need to be praying for one thing, just for protection over those who have been elected, that because our side is not the side that usually gets kooky and crazy. I'm not saying they never do, but I'm just saying that's not typically how it goes. We got to pray for protection, physical protection. But I want to read you a Psalm 25, and if you want to go there, that would be good. Because if you don't know how to pray for your country, if you don't know how to pray for Donald Trump, I'm going to tell you right now how to do that. Because sometimes we just don't. Oh, God, help him. God, help him. God, help him. And you know what? If that's all you know how to do, that's good. God meets us where we are. But I'm going to give you something specific. Psalm 25, verse 1, it says, "Oh, Lord, I give my life to you." You stop right there and you say, "God, I just pray right now that Donald Trump will submit his life to you as he enters into this office. That everything he does, God, he would put you at the center of it and he would consider you first before he says or does anything." And emphasis on before he says anything. God, please, please. Verse 2 says, "I trust in you, my God." God, I pray right now that Donald Trump will trust in you. I pray that you will put people in his path that will teach him to trust in you, that will model for him how to trust in you. Goes on to say, "Do not let me be disgraced." God, don't let him be disgraced. You know, that's one of the things that people say is he's not presidential. Okay, well, let's pray him into being presidential. Can we do that? Can we just do that? Can we just pray for that man so that the Spirit of God can minister to him in a way that it changes just tweaks and stuff on his personality so that he becomes more presidential? I happen to think God's big enough to do that. So Do not let him be disgraced or let his enemies rejoice in his defeat. No one trusts in you. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. God, help him to trust in you. Help him to trust in you. But disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. God, help him to be transparent. Help him to surround him with people who will be accountable to them. You know, we have watched this. If you've been alive very long at all, you see that there are people who kind of go into this stuff being a pretty good person and don't come out the way they went in. God, help him to be a transparent, honest man that represents not only our country, but represents you well. Verse 4 says, show me the right path, O Lord. God, show him the path. Point it out to him. Point out the road to him. That's what the next one says. Verse 5 says, lead me by your truth and teach me. God, lead him by your truth and teach him. Okay, the first thing we got to do is we got to explain to him the whole thing about first and second books. It's not 2 Corinthians. That's pretty elementary, but I think we need to make that clear. Surely somebody at this point has made that clear to him. But we got to find a way to, it says, lead me by your truth and teach me. Put somebody in that man's inner circle who just speaks the word of God at all times. Who every time a question is asked, they say, well, you know, the word says, it is written. Put someone in his inner circle that is constantly speaking the word into him, because that's the truth. That's what will change him. For you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love, which you've shown from long ages past. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, O Lord. Pray for God to be merciful to him. Pray for him to abandon old patterns of sin that he's had and to embrace this new this position that he's been given and honor that position with his behavior. It says in verse 9, he leads the humble in doing what is right, teaching them his way. You know, there's a lot of people, he comes across as really arrogant, but if you look at his family, one thing that I heard some people talking about the other day was they're wealthy, wealthy beyond anything we can even begin to fathom. But they relate to people very well. They were talking about how his children are often at these events just talking with people like us, just ordinary people like us, and they're comfortable doing so. And so we need to pray that humility will rest on them as they are in this position, because proud people fall. We just know that. That's what the word tells us. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. Pray that he fears the Lord so that he knows which path to choose. We don't even begin to understand, not even a little bit, the things that he is going to deal with. Typically, you don't find out till decades later a lot of the stuff that goes on when these men are in that role of president. But let's pray that he will fear the Lord for the duration of his time there. That he won't start out that way and then get jaded, but he will fear that the Lord for the duration so that the Lord will show him the path to choose. It says the Lord in verse 14 is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant. So he's got to fear the Lord. My eyes are always on the Lord, for he rescues me from the traps of my enemies. God, I pray right now and believe right now that Donald Trump's eyes are on you so that he will be rescued from the trap of his enemies. And if you go all the way down, there's a lot of things in there that we can learn to pray about him. But in verse 21, it says, may integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. O God, ransom Israel from all its troubles. And I would say, may honesty and integrity protect him. For right now, our hope is in him to some degree. We had to have faith that he's going to go in there and do that job the way he said he would do it. So we do have a certain amount of hope in him. While God is ultimately our hope, we do have a certain amount of hope in him. So God, may integrity and honesty protect him, because we have hope in him right now. Oh God, ransom the United States of America from all its troubles. Yesterday was such a good day, but church, it's just another day if we go back to business as usual as a church. We are called to so much more. We are called so much higher than what we do. And I pray yesterday that the church was set ablaze, that finally we say, no more. We're not going to be satisfied with raising up the next generation, not knowing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want my children and I want their children to know that. And I'm not satisfied anymore with hoping that happens because someone who's way better than I am at talking about that stuff will come across their path somehow. I'm not the best at talking about stuff like that with my kids, but what I have, I will give to them. And what I have, such as I have, give I to thee. When it comes to the world, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut anymore. What I've got inside of me, I'm going to share it with the world. I'm not going to do it perfectly, but the grace of God will cover me in that. But I will not sit back, and we cannot, as a church, ever go to that place again of complacency, of apathy, and of hoping someone else will do it instead of us. There's so much work to be done, and now is the time. I want to encourage every single one of us to be at the prayer meeting on Sunday night, because we're going to touch the heart of God on Sunday night, and we are going to believe for even greater things. We're going to look back at this day, and we're going to go, oh yeah, that was nothing. Let me tell you what he did after that. He's going to do mighty, mighty things, and we get to be a part of it. Some of us will be a part. Some of us may sit back and watch. I encourage you to get in there and be a part of it.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.